College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast, coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Later in the show, we will be joined by Arizona head coach Sean Miller. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Once again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in the show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And one great resolution you can make for the new year: maximize every minute and every dollar for your small business. I know an easy way to do that with Stamps.com. Think about the time you'll save by not having to make trips to the post office. Also, if you're like me and you're always on the road, it makes it easy to do right from your computer. Stamps.com is the better way to get postage. Just use your own computer and printer, then the mailman picks it up. I recommend Stamps.com because it is so easy to use and so convenient. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my code HOOPS for this special offer. A four-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the top of the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in HOOPS. That's Stamps.com. Enter HOOPS. Now that we've got you set for your stamping needs, it's time to get into my big thoughts from the weekend.
John's Big Three Thoughts from the weekend.
I'm going to give you three.
Thought number one, Gonzaga is starting to look like it's going to have the type of season that the 2013-14 Wichita State Shockers had when the Shockers won the Missouri Valley Conference regular season and tournament titles and had a perfect record going into the NCAA tournament. Gonzaga has the chops to enter the NCAA tournament undefeated. Their toughest remaining game, February 11th at St. Mary's, who the Bulldogs beat handedly Saturday night in Spokane. Another observation from the weekend: Mike Bray continues to overachieve. Notre Dame 5-0 in sole possession of first place in the ACC. Is he the least appreciated coach in college basketball? I think you can make the argument. The Irish have played in back-to-back Elite Eights, and again, they won back-to-back games on the road last week against Miami and Virginia Tech. And my other observation from the weekend: I think that UCLA's team and the season that UCLA is having is falling under the radar nationally a little bit. The Bruins have won 15 of their 18 games that they've earned victories in by double figures, and they are just one missed three-point shot away from Dylan Brooks from being undefeated. If that shot by Dylan Brooks, that running three-point shot in Eugene when Oregon beat UCLA in late December, doesn't go down, we are talking about UCLA as the number one team in college basketball and a team that is undefeated. And look, anybody in the Pac-12 will tell you that the toughest road trip because of the altitude is the back-to-back games you have at Colorado and at Utah. And UCLA's ability to win both of those games this past weekend exudes their toughness and exudes the idea that they don't have to score big to win key games. One guy that's going to get ready to coach UCLA later this week is Arizona head coach Sean Miller, and he joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Arizona is 16-2 entering this week's games in Southern California. The Wildcats will take on USC and UCLA. And join the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein now is Arizona head coach Sean Miller. And Sean, before we get to basketball, a changing of the guard is your athletic director Greg Byrne moving on to Alabama. What is it like for you internally when someone you're so close with moves on to another opportunity?
Well, you know, it's an empty feeling in a lot of ways. Just because, you know, Greg was so good at his job, certainly one of the best athletic directors that's in the college world, and somebody who his wife and him became very, very good friends with my wife and me, and we spent 7 years together, went through a lot of different things, and you know, certainly Alabama chose the right athletic director. He's one of the best, and we'll certainly miss him here. That's for sure. But that's college sports, and it's a great opportunity for him. And we're happy for him, and now we have to make the right move and get somebody in here who's like him, so that Arizona can keep moving forward, and I think we will.
And obviously any head coach wants the support of your athletic director when things aren't going in a positive direction. And your team and your program during the preseason had about as much of Murphy's Law hit you as I've ever seen a program in college basketball have. What do you think your reaction would have been if, while all that was going on in the preseason, somebody told you you'd be 16-2 after 18 games, considering all the personnel defections you had in the preseason?
Yeah, no question, John. I feel good about where we are, and in particular because of what you said. I mean, we lost Parker in essence for almost over half of the non-conference season. He missed 7 games, and you know, and when you welcome him back, it's not as if he's 100% hitting on all cylinders. And he's been a big part of what we do, being he's our one true point guard. Obviously, Alonzo's situation is kind of a once-in-a-lifetime situation. And, you know, he practices every day, so you really have a great feel for how good of a player he is. And in my mind, he would be one of the best guards in college basketball this season. And he's missed all 18 games. So because of that, our younger players, our freshmen, a lot of players who weren't here a year ago have been thrust into prominent roles. And I would say it's to their credit that we've had the success we've had to this point, because they've played really well. They've played unlike freshmen. And then guys who've been here before, Dusan Ristic and Kadeem Allen, you know, they've improved. I mean, Kadeem and Dusan are playing like all-conference players. So it's coupled, like, the improvement of those who've been here before and really our recruiting class coming in here and really getting the job done. It's cushioned the blow of a lot of things that we've dealt with. And I didn't even mention Ray Smith, who's out because of another torn ACL, who was one of our best wing players. So no doubt, man, it hit us. They always tell me it comes back around, and I'm waiting. You know, hopefully we can have a great stretch of health from now until the end.
Sean, you know, people who are head coaches in collegiate athletics and people who are in positions of leadership are diligent and well-prepared and want to make sure that they have everything aligned. But what do you learn about yourself when the unexpected happens?
Number one, it's never as bad as it seems. You know, at first, you know, just because we're in a black and white world of did you win or did you lose, and in college athletics, things can really change quickly, especially if you're at a program where you have high expectations and you know, you have success from a long period of time. So, you know, I think number one, you learn that, you know, you just can't panic, and that that young people have a way of stepping up when given the opportunity. If they're talented, you know, you can really bring out the best in them, and in some ways, you know, develop some things that maybe otherwise you wouldn't have if you didn't go through the adversity. And for example, team chemistry, you know, because we play 7.5-8 players, I think our chemistry has been really, really good. It's one of the strengths of our team through 18 games. You know, maybe if we were deeper, that would be something that wouldn't be as good as it is right now. So I think, you know, with change comes a lot of different unique challenges and problems, but I think number one is it is never as bad as it seems, and I think you have to find a way.
Well, it seemed like your team was stuck in the mud for a little while, and then you turned a corner. For you personally, when was that in your head when you said, you know what, despite the fact that we're limited, we're starting to get good?
Well, I would say the one game we didn't really have a chance to win is playing Gonzaga in L.A., you know, number one, because of how good of a team they are. And number two, you know, we had just lost Parker 2 days earlier. And even with Parker, that would have been a tough task. But, you know, we were dysfunctional that day. We weren't able to get our team organized without Parker and playing only 7. So we did the best we could. But, you know, I think that when you're faced with that and you have the feeling that we all felt in that game, you know, everybody just kind of looked at it as a clean slate. And then it became, let's put this current team in the best position and give some players different roles, et cetera. And from that point on, John, although we've had our bad moments, we've consistently improved. We've gotten better players have become more comfortable. And the thing that's really helped us is our defense has continued to rise. You know, we've established ourselves at least through 18 games as a very good defensive team. And we do it differently. We do it with our size. We don't block shots. You know, it's not as if we wear you down. But I think we've become a team that's in the right place, very position-oriented. And again, back to the younger players, you know, that's the one area where you never quite know who they're going to be until you coach them. But from a defensive perspective, each one of our young players has improved almost each week. So hopefully that can continue.
Arizona head coach Sean Miller joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Arizona 16-2 will go to L.A. this week to take on USC and UCLA. Sean, I know that you're consumed with getting Arizona to the highest level that it can in college basketball, and you take the losses extremely hard when they end your season. But as far as the Ray Smith situation goes, where does that rank in terms of the toughest things you've had to deal with, considering the fact that he came back and then had yet another knee injury?
You know, it was devastating. It was devastating for Ray and his family. It was devastating for our team because they've watched Ray work around the clock to come back. They watched him get hurt a year ago, and you see something like that, you know, a second time. And in Ray's case, it's happened to him three times, once in high school. It's just not fair. It isn't. You know, Ray is 6'8". He's very bright. He's got a lot of talent. Like a lot of these guys, he was coming to college to become an NBA player. And I think that that's where he would have ended up. But to see it taken from him so quickly, when really he never had a chance to play even one game. And it's one thing if he had a chance to be out there for a season or half a season or, you know, three quarters of a season, you get hurt, you come back, you make it through almost the entire next season. But in Ray's case, this all happened before he ever played one game. The good news is, you know, he's on track academically. He's with us. And he's going to be with us all the way until he graduates. And that's the most important next step for him. But, yeah, it affects you. It affects your emotions. It took us a while to get over that. And not just because we lost a quality player, but also the bigger picture that, you know, just it's a very emotional time for someone that young.
You've built Arizona into the premier program on the West Coast. What does this team have to improve on over the next 8 weeks to get to the level of some of the teams you've had over the past couple of years?
I think number one is what you've talked about. You know, we have to be blessed with a good stretch of health. You know, we're still playing eight guys, and you know, you take one player off of our team, and we're vulnerable. And I think, you know, number two is we just have to continue to be a very good defensive team. That's the thing that we've been consistent on. You know, on the road in conference play, there's always going to be those teams who have a prolific offensive night. There's going to be those nights where maybe you don't score the ball or make free throws. You have a high turnover game. It's inevitable. You can't avoid it. And on those nights, can you still win? And that comes down to being just a really disciplined, solid defensive team. And I think if we ever get away from that, you know, you'll find that we're very, very middle of the pack, mediocre. I think what's kept us in the winner's circle is the consistent defensive effort. And even the other night against ASU, in the first half, we were very good on defense. They had 25 points. In the second half, we weren't as good. ASU made some good threes, but they scored 50. And you just had the feeling in the second half that it didn't feel right. And one of the reasons was we're not a trading baskets type of team. You know, we have to be able to get those defensive stops. So this week is obviously our biggest challenge, playing not only UCLA, but USC, who's a very good team, has a lot of firepower in their own right. And it'll be an interesting week for us for sure.
Well, and to beat teams of that caliber, you need to have great players. And if all hands are on deck, nobody is greater in Arizona's program than Alonzo Trier. In your own private thoughts, are you planning that at some point this season he's going to play for Arizona?
You know, I can't even say that I'm optimistic, John. You know, I'm just kind of just, I'm neutral. It is a very, very unique situation. It's not something that I have control over. And to your earlier questions, you know, one of the things that when you're going through crisis, you're going through adversity, you're having to overcome these things, you know, you really try to lock in on the things that you can control. And the thing that I can control is, you know, coaching Lowry Markkanen and coaching Kadeem Allen, you know, getting our team ready to practice, making sure that our team's chemistry is in order. You know, with with Lonzo, we make sure that he's in order, that academically he's sound, that he practices every day, which he does. And, you know, we have our fingers crossed that at some point maybe he gets the green light. But at this point, I really can't say when or even if it's going to happen.
All right, well, then let's talk about what is going to happen later this week. It's been a couple of years since we've seen an elite UCLA team, and this UCLA team is elite. You had some memorable games, I remember, in the 2012-13 season with a UCLA team that had Kyle Anderson and Shabazz Muhammad and Jordan Adams. How does this UCLA team, in terms of overall firepower, compare to that one?
Right, and Zach LaVine and the Ware twins, they had some incredible talent, you know, that year, and so did we. If you look back at that game, especially in the new model of college basketball, John, where, you know, you don't have great players becoming upperclassmen, it's hard to have a game where you look out there and you see eight or nine NBA players in the game at the same time. But, you know, if you think about who was on our side, you know, TJ McConnell, Aaron Gordon, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Nick Johnson, and you look at the names that you just mentioned, those were some great games, almost as if that's how it used to be between Arizona and UCLA. And maybe it's like that this year. I don't know. What I do know is they have the best offensive team in college basketball. You know, when I watch the Golden State Warriors play in the NBA, you know, UCLA is the college version of that, in that their shot-making ability, their ability to score big, to go on spurts, and to just to make contested shots. You know, shooting 46% from the three-point line as a team. And, you know, Thomas Welsh, he doesn't shoot threes. He might be as good of a shooter as there is, 15 to 17 feet. You know, TJ Leaf, the same with him. So, you know, I haven't watched them maybe as much as you would think because USC's first, and we tend to focus on that first game. But just I have caught them through their non-conference and well aware that, you know, they have a chance to win the national championship this year. And when you say that, I don't care who you are, if you're playing them on a neutral court or at home, that's going to be a difficult task to beat them in Pauley Pavilion. You're going to have to be hitting on all cylinders for sure.
Well, and that brings me to my next point, because really, since you've been the head coach of Arizona, you've cemented your place as the elite program in the Pac-12. We just talked about UCLA. You mentioned how good USC is, and we haven't mentioned Oregon, who, despite their injuries, are 16-2 and haven't lost since before Thanksgiving. Is the Pac-12 the best at the top since you've been the head coach of Arizona?
I think it is. You know, last year we had seven teams in the tournament. And that was somewhat understated because we didn't have NCAA tournament success. I mean, all of us, you know, got knocked out early on with the exception of Oregon. And UCLA a year ago wasn't in a tournament, so that was kind of odd with seven teams in. They weren't one of them. But you get 7 of 12 teams, you have a heck of a conference. This year, I don't know if we're as deep, but to your point, I think that you have a couple of heavies at the top, especially Oregon. You know, they're coming off of being a number one seed themselves. UCLA certainly, I think, is in a great position to be a number one seed this year. And I don't know what we are. You know, I'm hoping we can continue to have the success. But if you look at that and then maybe layer it down one or two more, a team like USC, Utah, I think we have, you know, that top four or five is probably as good as maybe any conference in the country.
Final thing for me, Sean. We've had many conversations over the last 5 years about being consumed of getting to a Final Four as a head coach. Is it easier to put that in the back of your mind when your resources are limited and the only thing you can really focus on is the next day?
You know, I think it is. We're under the radar, and we probably should be based on everything that's happened. You know, my hope is that, you know, we have 18 games behind us, and, you know, so we have a 13-game regular season still in front. And, you know, we have to just continue to focus on the task at hand, like you'd mentioned, and, you know, hope for some good health, maybe hope for some good news down the line with Alonzo, and see what we can bring. This has been a really fun team to coach. It's a very coachable group. Like I said, I think one of the strengths of this year's team is our team's chemistry and the youthfulness. We have some young players who aren't know-it-alls. You know, they've come here to reach goals, but they've also come here to listen, to learn, to buy into to being a good team. And I think that Raleigh Alkins, Kobe Simmons, and Lauri Markkanen, and, you know, Keanu Pinder, those are the four that we brought in. You know, they deserve a lot of credit. They're a big reason why we've been successful. But, you know, the Final Four, sometimes when you least expected to make it, you know, quietly you march through the tournament and things happen and magic's there. And next thing you know, you get to a Final Four in a year that's maybe you didn't necessarily expect. We've been in the Elite Eight 3 times here. I've been in the Elite Eight 4 times. So when you've been at the threshold of it and you haven't broken through, sometimes that it becomes almost too much, more meaningful. And I think I've learned to guard against that because, you know, the result of a lot of good things will be a Final Four appearance. If it's just about getting there, you know, sometimes you forget it's the steps between the beginning and the end that mean the most. And like you said, John, I think at Arizona right now, we're locked into trying to be the best team we can be right now and to take it one day at a time, and we'll see where we end up.
Sean, it's been fun to watch your team grow. Looking forward to Thursday night at the Galen Center against USC. Stay healthy, and I'll talk to you down the line.
All right. Thanks, John, for having me on. Appreciate it.
We'd like to thank Arizona head coach Sean Miller for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also want to remind you that not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients can make a real difference, so it's important to know where your food comes from. Blue Apron makes it easy to have a great meal in a short amount of time and a great price. You can choose from a variety of new recipes each week or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you'll never get bored. My favorite part is that each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card, and pre-portioned ingredients can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook or they'll make it right. Check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/collegehoops. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/collegehoops. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And now that we've got you set for your Blue Apron needs, it's time to get in our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Kevin. It's John, what is wrong with NC State? They've had 2 bad losses in a row. And look, I've said really throughout the entire season, I thought NC State would be a double-digit loss team that had a chance to get to the Sweet 16, but I did not see the Wolfpack's last 2 losses coming. Lost to BC last week, lost at home to Georgia Tech. A lot of issues right now surrounding NC State. Our next question comes from Brad, and it's, does the seemingly wide-open race in the Big Ten speak to the conference's overall strength or its weakness? I just think, Brad, that parity is the one thing you need to associate right now with the Big Ten, because I wrote about this in my column on Monday. Coming into the Big Ten season, I really felt that Wisconsin, Purdue, Indiana, and potentially Michigan State would challenge for a conference title, and now you have a situation where Maryland is in sole possession of first place in the Big Ten, and the only team that's beaten the Terps in conference play, Nebraska, who has a 9-8 overall record, and the game happened in College Park, so I think the Big Ten is going to be really, really unpredictable. Now that we've got you set on our social media things for the College Hoops Today podcast, it's time for some nuggets.
5 good nuggets.
5. 5.
6.
No, 5. But you were close.
Nugget number 1. TCU pride. Jamie Dixon has TCU at 3-2 in the Big 12 after Saturday's win over Ohio State. In the last 4 years, TCU has only won a combined 8 times in conference play. Nugget number 2, surging Gators. Florida has won 7 straight games under Mike White. This is the longest winning streak since the 2013-14 season for Florida's program. Nugget number 3, ACC depth. How good is the ACC this year? If the season ended today, Duke would be the 9th seed in the ACC conference tournament. That's depth. Nugget number 4, May Day. No Tony Bradley against Florida State meant that Luke May stepped forward for North Carolina, 15 boards in 25 minutes. That's making an impact when your number is called. And nugget number 5, the epitome of efficiency. How about Gonzaga's Nigel Williams-Goss this season? The transfer from Washington is averaging career highs in field goal percentage, 3-point field goal percentage, and free throw percentage. He has been Gonzaga's best player. Now that we've got you set for your nuggets, let's look at some games to watch.
Games to watch.
First game to watch, Tuesday night in Starkville, Kentucky at Mississippi State. Mississippi State right now doing a nice job in the SEC. A three-game winning streak under Ben Hallen, capped off by Saturday's win against Texas A&M. Wednesday, Florida, the team we had talked about earlier against South Carolina, the second and third best teams in the SEC. Meanwhile, Notre Dame travels to Florida State. Thursday, a couple of good ones out west. Cal is at Oregon. Ivan Rabb going against the big front line of Oregon with Jordan Bell and Chris Boucher, and then Arizona going to L.A., and they will kick things off in SoCal against USC, who had a big win on Sunday night against Colorado. I'd like to thank Arizona head coach Sean Miller for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.